Hello and welcome to this Brofcast, the English language Brofcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And we're all Leeds, aren't we?
Are we? Are we all Leeds?
All Leeds, aren't we?
Including you, listener.
All Leeds, aren't we?
Can you stop saying that? They've gone up.
They have.
Yeah, them and Burnley.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, I'm sure they'll bring joy and excitement to that Premier League next year.
To the 18th and 19th positions of the table.
Yes.
Hi Dan, and whoever is going to come up through the playoffs is going to finish rock bottom. There, we've done it. We don't need to do next year's Premier League season.
Yes, # best league in the world. It's spoiler. It's not.
Palace will be 11th.
Yeah. Talking of best leagues in the world that aren't. I mean, we never claimed this was. But
yeah, I was going to say
nobody has ever claimed this was.
It's not even in my top five leagues in this country, David.
We have got an absolute slew of games to talk about, four of them actually, because we didn't realise how tight the schedule was.
This very much is my fault, because I completely forgot that we had a midweek game against Prostějov, and then I ended up having to play for my darts team that night we lost.
I thought you were going to say play for my sins.
For my sins, yes. And then we didn't really have time to coordinate to do a podcast in time for the battle for the Shtetl, our derby game. I still use that word tentatively with Lyshen, but more on that later.
Moravax versus Panelax, as you nicely put. Yeah. So yeah, we are going to rip through Vyshkov, Zlín and Prostějov, which is more than our forward line did. And then...
Good.
Yes, get onto our more regular programming. That will all begin after this. Right then, we have three games to very quickly rip through. That was home to Vyshkov, away to Zlín, and then home to Prostějov. It was Vyshkov first.
It was Vyshkov first.
Yeah. Yes,
it was a lovely day for football.
It was. Yeah, very nice.
The football itself, well, not so much. I mean, an attacking lineup for Zbrojovka on this one. I mean, you were going with, you know, Vahosek, McLeither. And the first start for Justin Rojo Wilson.
Yeah.
As well, who looked very bright in the first 15 minutes and then dropped off spectacularly as basically Brno struggled to get any grip onto the game.
Yeah. We did not win, obviously, because we still haven't won at home. Spoiler.
Yeah, we still haven't won at home. And really, it was one of those sorts of games where we were probably lucky to get out of the first half relatively unscathed. There was a couple of okay chances for Vyshkov, but it was the second half that really knocked the stuffing out of us. Who else but... very own Pavel Zivchak opens the scoring on the 55th minute and an instant, 47th minute, and in the 53rd minute, an instant response, which I missed because I was out getting beer. But Adam Cronus pops up with another goal.
He does, yeah. He's surprisingly been okay this season. I think that was goal seven, I think,
something
of the season.
Along those lines, yeah. And that was jubilation, which lasted for approximately 2 minutes, because straight from kickoff, Vyshkov then made it 2-1 through Tom Ulbrich, and that's really all she wrote. We looked very poor in trying to chase a result here, and really it was one of those ones where even though we scored, it was almost like it was a 4-0 loss performance. So. You know, not many people happy. A really poor turnout for what is a local game. Some 1,500 were there at the stadium. And to my surprise, no one pretty much from Vyshkov, at least not in the away section.
Yes, that will also be the case of our next home game, which is also a bit of a derby and also included no away fans, which is mad. But between those two, we went to the big boys and the champions-elect Zlín.
And you really expect nothing after that performance with Vyshkov, don't you? Particularly due to Zlín's pedigree.
Yeah, but as you alluded to when we went to see the Lyshen game, we play to the level of our opponents.
Yes.
And at Zlín, we rode our luck a couple of times, but we came out with a very creditable 1-1 draw.
Yeah.
Which was far more than you would expect. A full complement of Svorka fans made the Friday night trip. That away end
looked pretty packed out. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Lots of sort of tifo and things for various reasons. The inevitable Tomáš Poznar, still going strong at the age of 36, scored to open proceedings for Zlín. But with an equaliser from Martin Novi, a great free kick in a week of great free kicks, because it was the same week that it was Declan Rice, hashtag at the double, for Arsenal, and then Tomáš Rigo for Banik Ostrava with an absolute belter against Jablonec as well. So, yes, we can add Martin Novi to the list of great free kicks that week.
Just on that, my favourite thing from the internet coming off that is, did you see the tweet that just said something like Declan Rice is fantastic? And it was someone had just captioned it with Ant going out for a curry.
Yeah. Yeah. That always reappears whenever Rice does something.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's a relatively old chestnut for the last couple of years, actually. Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty special. I mean, nothing, of course, on the two goals scored in Scotland, free kick scored in Scotland 2, England 2, back in the day by Lee Griffiths.
Sure. Right. Yeah. I'll pretend I remember that.
Moving swiftly. Yeah. On.
So yeah, good result that.
Very good.
That was the last game with the little tooth on the bench, playing interim manager. Svedík and his assistant were in the stands watching the game because something else has happened. We've got a new manager again.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Martin Svedík, very exciting appointment.
Has apparently knocked back offers from far better teams than us in a better division to join us. So I don't know how we've greased that wheel, but...
Money.
Well, sure. Yeah. Money, we suddenly found some.
And also, it is a bit of a poison chalice, but we've said this before. If you are the one to bring any sort of success, that could be promotion and then, you know, promotion next year and then, like, a mid-table finish...
Yeah.
And something to build on, you'll never have to buy a pint in this city again. Because it's such a sleeping giant, and so many people have failed at this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a brave man to take it, but if you succeed...
To an extent, yes. I think that now that the capital in Zbrojovka is just so low, and okay, that we're sort of moving on from sort of ownership of the past, but if it turns out to be a catastrophic failure for whatever reason, I'm not convinced it will be, but all you then do is if you're out your arse in 6 months, you go, oh, well, it's still the old culture at the club.
Absolutely,
oh, it was made impossible for me to do anything. And really, you know, I tried my best, but it was just impossible to work with these people. And you go away and then you get your job at Carvina, you get your job at Sigma or whatever. And it's, you know, it's totally fine. But I mean, we do wish him all the best.
Absolutely, yeah.
Of course, like that will be the first test of that will, of course, be this weekend when we will actually be in the dugout.
Yes, we've had... Well, I mean, he was there for the Leashen game.
He wasn't in the dugout.
No, he was there, at least.
He's actually taking charge formally on Saturday, though, and the club have been putting graphics out with the whole welcome him to town sort of a shtick.
Right, okay. Yeah, the final game of this run of three and the one where... Svedík wasn't there, but his assistant was kind of taking charge from the bench, was Zbrojovka 1, Prostějov 1. A point and one to be disappointed with, in all honesty, because other results all went our way, basically. Yeah. And we couldn't capitalise on them. This is 2 points dropped. Like, of all the games this season, this is the biggest dropping of 2 points. I was there, and Pavel turned out for the first time this season, pretty much, I think. Hi, Pavel.
Hi, Pavel. And,
yeah, with the new management team sort of in place, obviously we said Svedík wasn't there because his wife is having surgery or something, so he's there and like looking after her, fair enough. The bear-like figure of assistant manager Jiří Saňák was on the bench, and Prostějov honestly barely had a sniff. We went ahead early with a shot from Pachlotnik on the edge of the area, was only parried and scuffed in by Adam Kronos, again for I think number 8 maybe. This season, and then set about wasting an absolute ton of set pieces. Martin Novi's genius of the previous week having been left in Zlín.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it was also incredibly windy as well, yeah, to be fair to him. It was really, really gusty. And their goal...
Yeah, I'm keen about to hear about this one.
Did you see the highlights?
I did, yes. Yeah,
came from a moment of idiocy, basically. A long cross to sort of nowhere, headed back across goal by Andrei Shevchik, and met by Stander Hoffman, who's basically on the goal line, attempts to head the ball over the bar, I assume, and just nods it gently into his own net.
It caresses the ball.
Yeah, it really does. There's no force or direction on it. It's really weird.
It's very... I mean, I don't know how to really put this into words, which is not great for a podcast. It's just very sad, you know?
It's just like
one of these things. It's like, you know, it's like one of those ones that happens and then this sort of screen goes black and white and then in the back you have the violin going... it's a bit like that, you know, rain starts pouring down.
Yeah, I was thinking it was more like the end of Curb Your Enthusiasm meme where, you know, the ball hits the net, everything freezes, wrong. Yeah, it was very... It's one of those two, but yeah, there we go. We absolutely should have had a penalty for handball on the 74th minute, but that doesn't excuse us not being able to get back in this game, honestly. And Saniak seems to have worked out Dr. Zborovka pretty quickly, because in the press conference immediately after the game, he basically said exactly what it... There was none of this, oh, you know, we tried hard, we just couldn't get the result today, which we've had from the previous managers. Mm-hmm. It was, quote, we should have won that. We allowed our opponents almost nothing, but we didn't manage to increase our lead, and in a moment of passiveness, we conceded. I'm not happy at all about this.
Can we copy and paste that for practically every single home game this season?
That's what I mean. He's clearly got us sussed immediately. It's like, this is what we do, it is shit, and we need to sort it out immediately.
Yeah. More on Dr. Zbrojovka in the previews, by the way, David.
Yeah, you weren't there for that one, but...
No, and I'm glad I wasn't, frankly, even though my darts team did lose.
Well, there we go. That's what happened in those three games. We've got an extended bit on Li Shen to come, because that really is quite something.
Yes.
Yeah. Should we do some hots or nots first, then?
Oh, why not, yes.
Okay, let's do that first. Hot or Not is here again. Hello, listener. It's that time.
Didn't know where you were going for a moment.
No, absolutely. That sentence began. I didn't know where it was going, and it plummeted off a cliff, very much like this one is about to. But I've got one each.
I have, as is traditional. Yes, one each as well. Hit me with one.
I will go with a not.
Okay.
And it is verbs verbing where they shouldn't verb.
Oh, okay.
The new Northern Super League has launched. That's the new women's top division in Canada,
mm-hmm.
right? Has 8 teams in it,
mm-hmm.
and includes a team called Vancouver Rise.
No,
that shouldn't be. It should be Vancouver noun, surely.
Sure, yes.
Rise isn't good. It gets worse because the Victory Creative Group, who came up with the name and branding...
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah. Say, quote, the name Rise is an allusion to the phrase rise to the occasion and is intended to evoke both a beacon of empowerment and progress and sunrises over the Cascade Range, end quote.
Really? Because I thought they were going for the ill-fated Channel 4 breakfast program aimed at 20-somethings that was on for about 2 years between 2002 and 2004. I think it had Fern Cotton on it.
Right, okay.
God, I've not thought about that for a while.
Other names considered were...
Oh, no.
Vancouver Queens.
Fine.
Vancouver Summit. And Vancouver Breakers.
Why?
As in waves.
Yeah, but...
Breaking.
I mean, it is on the coast, I suppose, isn't it? Yes.
On that similar note, I just...
You could call it Vancouver Gulf. Because there's a massive gulf between that and my interest in the Northern Super League.
It also reminded me how much I dislike the name Phoenix Rising as well. Lazy, yes. Cliche, yeah. Trope, don't do it, stop it.
Yeah. Bloody Aldershot.
That is, right, that is exactly like the naming of the B-sharps in The Simpsons, Phoenix Rising. We need a name that's funny at first, but gets less funny each time you hear it. Phoenix Rising is that spot on.
It's terrible all around.
Yeah, anyway, what do you got?
I'll go for a not then as well. Okay. And it's that, I think I've maybe done this before, I'm not sure, but I feel it's that time of year, so I have to crack it out again. I'm going to preface this by saying, I know that nobody cares, and I know that it's really petty. And for some reason, it's such a minor thing, but it winds me up like nothing else. It's what I would call the group achievement photo, or the group achievement graphic, David.
Okay.
So anytime that a club gets promoted or wins something, so you know they've won the cup, they've won the league, they have qualified for a major international tournament, if you've got promoted or whatever, there is always this group achievement photo, which right in the middle tends to have the manager in some sort of hands in the air pose, and flanked over several layers by all the players in the team, and always says something like, "We are going up" in it.
Right.
You know exactly the things that I'm talking about.
Yeah,
here.
A kind of photoshopped.
Yes,
image of victorious looking players and doing things.
I fucking hate it. I absolutely fucking hate it. It's because now every single club does it. Every single club. There's no originality in it at all. There's not one of these ones where they're all like, "Here you go." For example, I've just brought this one up. Here is. I mean, sorry for picking on your team, Dan, but this is, you know, this is Burnley's one that has, you know, Scott Parker looking up to the sky in a "How am I doing, boss?" sort of pose with, you know, people with players applauding, hands aloft or whatever with "We are Premier League."
Yeah.
Stop it. Like, get better graphics. Every single team will do this. So every single team, everything from Barnet down to, you know, sort of to Leeds to Falkirk will do it when I think Falkirk are going to get promoted from the Scottish Championship this season. Every single fucking team is going to do it. Stop it.
Wow. That was a real rant at something that honestly has... I noticed so little.
Yeah.
That it really hasn't... Yeah, hasn't crossed my radar.
I have a lot of chronic addictions, David, and one of them is social media usage, right? So when I'm scrolling on my phone, I see 5 different versions of this.
Right.
Just stop.
Okay. Do you want a hot just to...
Yes,
just
please,
to, you
please.
Know, calm your, you know, psychopathic rage down at the social media graphics teams.
Yeah. It was a bit more violent than I thought I was going to go there.
My hot is Bryn FK again.
Okay, our friends at Bryn.
Yes. We already talked about the pile of eggs
Have they given someone a car? Please just let it...
No, the player of the match performance for their last home game, the scorer of the opening goal in a 3-1 win, Axel Kreiger, got a lamb.
It is Easter.
Yeah, I know. And to be fair,
they're a rural team, though, right?
Yes, and this is what they're really kind of going hard in on this now. It'll be cared for the club if Kreiger decides he doesn't want the responsibility of having a fucking sheep at his house.
Yeah. Oh, it's alive?
Yeah, a live lamb.
Fuck. Okay, because I thought it was like a...
What, like a meat raffle prize?
Like a rack of lamb?
No.
You should be like, class, wouldn't
no,
you?
No, that's why I said a lamb and not lamb.
I thought it was like a whole lamb ready for the, I don't know, spit. I don't know.
It is a whole lamb, it just moves around and bleats.
moves around and bleats. Very much like a Heart of Midlothian weekend statement asking for clarification on the second sending off. Get it up, yes all. Sorry.
Anyway, Bryn, the more I read about this club, the more I sort of like it. It's very kind of self-consciously, as you say, like it's a small farming community. It's only home to around 12,000 people. It's very rural. Agriculture is the main industry, and the club has doubled down on this, even having a VIP section. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this?
Is this the tractors?
Yeah, where you can drive your tractor alongside one section of the pitch and hoik a sofa up on the front lift arms and watch from there.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff.
This is very good. Yeah. It reminds me of the time that Falkirk FC used to have a competition where you could watch the Imatchma hot tub.
I mean, Zbrojovka had that a couple of seasons ago. You remember that?
I think I must have blanked that out of memory.
Yeah, they had a hot... You know where that what looked like a long jump pit was behind the left-hand goal?
Yes.
Really, really. Just 3 people awkwardly sitting in a hot tub in like...
I do not remember this.
In the absolute middle of nowhere, because there's nothing near it. So they just plonked this hot tub. And it was just 3 awkward-looking people watching the game from there.
How would you get a good view of the match? You wouldn't have any depth perception,
No, you wouldn't.
You?
And then you're just embarrassingly sitting in a hot tub with people gawping at you.
Can't see anything because it's not high enough. Yeah. It's just weird. It's like the away section at St Mirren. I'm going for everyone's teams today.
Anyway, that was my hot. Have you got another one?
I mean, the spurious one is Aberdeen FC have got to the first Scottish Cup final in 8 years.
Yes, they have, haven't they?
Great. And
well
we're
done.
Going to absolutely get battered by Celtic. However, my hot this time is lower league highlight shows.
Okay.
So I was thinking about this because I was just on YouTube the other day and I just happened to stumble upon there is now a highlights program done by, I believe it's got a terrible name because it's called DAZN, that sports channel.
Oh, DAZN.
Yes, I think it's called DAZN. But they do and it's like 40 minutes, proper full highlights package of the National League.
Cool.
So you can see like Wealdstone playing Sutton and stuff like this. And it got me sort of thinking as well, because the BBC or BBC Scotland now do a wonderful sort of roundup of the lower league Scottish football as well once a week on like a Monday, and you can watch basically every single match from the Championship to League Two. And I think that it's just really the tonic that we all need in a time where we're now just 24/7 focused on Champions League, Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, to an extent MLS, you know, that dreadful product. And it's nice to actually see these things and actually see, and with the greatest of respect to everyone that supports like a, you know, a team in the higher leagues, which is, you know, myself included, like it's a bit more real.
Yeah.
It's like real fans there, you know. Fans are like fucking Eastleigh going absolutely bonkers and stuff like that. Fans at Edinburgh City, because they're having a great season, they were expected to go down, they're going to be in the League Two playoffs. And it just feels like, and the product on the pitch just feels a lot more sort of real. It's not sanitised, it's still crunching tackles, there's no VAR. So I've just been glued to this sort of stuff, and
good
I would
stuff.
Much rather watch that than Match of the Day right now, frankly.
That DAZN have got the UK production rights to the Club World Cup, and all the games are going to be on Channel 5.
Yes.
That's quite nice.
I will not watch probably a minute of it.
Well, it could be it's one of those that, like, I might tune in for like a bizarre game. If it's like Zamalek versus Corinthians or something like that, it could be kind of fun. Just seeing teams and players that you have no idea about, like it's, you know, the early 90s again.
And the other thing about DAZN, which I think is quite nice, even though it is a company that's, you know, obviously there for money-making purposes, is that in this sort of the adverts in between these programs and things like that, they are really pushing that they have got the best coverage and the most matches in women's football. So they do all the stuff for the Women's Super League and all this sort of stuff as well. So trying to push that out to an audience. And at a time where women's football, at least in the UK, is growing, you're getting a few thousand to games now. I think it's great to see.
This is actually a really... we are going on about this quite a lot, but this is actually a really smart move by them, because if you go in for things that are not going to cost you a lot, but are of relatively high interest to, you know, each individual team is not followed by a lot of people, but as a collective, lower league fans and football nerds and followers of women's football generally, that coverage is not going to cost you a lot. And if you can get in on the ground floor and be the go-to well-produced, high-production-value company that does this stuff, you know, and then you can sign it up for the next 10, 15, 20 years as it grows, you're on a hiding to... Well, not nothing. Money? A hiding to money? Yeah. Is that a phrase? Yeah. Anyway.
And it is worth like tuning into this sort of stuff as well, I will say, because even below that as well, the if you talk about the, you know, the one below the National League, like the National League North and South and things like that, that is absolutely mental at the moment. So just as a side note as well, there is one match left in the National League South. And currently you have Truro City on 86 points, second place is Torquay on 86 points, third place is Eastbourne Borough on 85 points. Of fourth place is Worthing on 85 points. Like, one of these teams gets promoted automatically. That's an exciting league.
Best league in the world. National League South, famously.
I've always said it.
Yeah. Right, shall we... Ooh, actually, do you want a very quick quiz?
Oh, please.
Okay. Here's a quick quiz. It is one we have done before, but on the subject of Vancouver Rise.
Oh, no.
Here's a game of Soccer Ball Association Club or not Soccer Ball Association Club.
Open wide for some soccer!
If anyone is listening from North America, by the way, I do not care about any of your teams.
No, sorry. I know. Okay, so
I'm just losing viewers or listeners here, even. Yeah, we don't have viewers yet.
Right,
didn't have that many anyway.
No, yeah. So we can ill afford to lose the ones we have. Right, bunch of soccer ball clubs. Are they real or not? Number one, Colorado Springs Switchbacks.
Yes,
they are. Yes, very good.
I think I've heard of that for some reason.
They're in the whatever the second league is.
USFL.
Yeah,
two
that
or something.
Thing. Yeah. Number two, the Indianapolis Checkers. Checkers spelt as in checkered.
C-K-E-R-A.
No. As in the flag, the racing flag.
As in the checkered flag?
Yes.
C-H-E...
C-H-E-Q-U-E-R-S.
Okay, I don't think they ever use that in American English anyway, so I don't think that's a team.
Bang on, yes. Number three, Electric City Shock.
Electric City Shock.
Yes.
Is this also a crossover with your? Is this a football team or an indie band? I like that one. There's definitely something called Electric City. Yes, go on.
Yes, they're based in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Which I discovered was called the Electric City as its nickname because it was the home to the first successful and continuously operated streetcar system in the US.
And Dwight Schrute lives there as well.
Apparently, yeah.
Here we go.
The Oakland Stompers.
Oh, I love that name, actually. Well, yeah, go on.
Yeah, yeah, they are. One Knoxville FC, but one spelt out as a word.
Yeah, O-N-E.
Yeah.
Just on the balance of things, I'll say. See, I wouldn't be surprised if it is, but I'll say no.
It is.
Oh God.
That's yeah. Very much trying to get into the kind of Erste FC Augsburg or whatever, but just writing the word one in letters. Come on.
No. Real Salt Lake.
Real Salt Lake.
So.
Next one. Fresno Poppers.
I mean, that just sounds like something that you buy at, like,
yeah,
Popeyes or whatever. You'll note that the Popeyes, which has been in Brno right now, has still not opened.
No, it's like 3 months or something behind schedule, I think.
Anyway. I'll say no to the Poppers.
Correct, but the body-popping dance style evolved there in the 1970s,
oh,
hence why I chose the name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was not to know that. Fresno, right?
Yeah, Fresno, California.
Oh, yeah. Apparently the epicenter for the crystal meth pandemic in the US as well, Fresno.
Really? Okay. The only reason I had heard of it beforehand was there was a 1950s IndyCar driver called Bill Vukovich, and he was known as the Fresno Flash.
Oh, that's right. Is that because he was arrested on multiple occasions for indecent exposure?
No, but it's a good sort of like 1950s racing driver name, isn't it? The Fresno Flash. Yeah. Portland Hearts of Pine.
Oh, no. Is this a Hearts of Oak reference? Hearts of Oak, who are Ghana's premier team, I believe. Hearts of Portland Hearts of Pine. Look, I mean, you've got the Timbers, right? There'll be room for another one, of course. Hearts of Pine to me sounds like it would be a woman's team, but they're not called that. They're called something else because you've gone to
see... It's the Portland Thorns.
You've seen them, haven't you? I'll reluctantly say no to Hearts of Pine, but I hope they exist.
They do exist.
Hey!
And they're in the other less interesting Portland, Maine.
Oh, of course. There's two Portlands, yeah. Of course.
Port on each side of the country.
Yes.
Yeah. Number eight, I think we're on now. The Lubbock Ranchers.
Lubbock in Texas.
Yes.
That would make sense. I feel a town like Lubbock would have a stupider name than that, so I will say no.
Correct. Number nine, Little Rock Hot Tamales.
In Arkansas.
In Arkansas.
Little Rock Hot Tamales. It's... No.
Correct. All of the ones that I've made up, I went to the town's Wikipedia page to sort of see if there would be a reason to call it this. And I discovered Roeder's famous hot tamales of Lake Village, Arkansas, is in the Arkansas Food Hall of Fame. Apparently there is one.
So famous, I've never heard of
No, obviously.
These hot tamales.
Or the Arkansas Food Hall of Fame, for that matter, I imagine. And finally, Flower City Union.
Oh, I love that name, though, actually. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, Rochester, New York.
Oh, nice.
Lovely. That was probably like 8 or 9 out of 10.
I did all right for once, yeah. Excellent. I think it's the best I've ever done in one of your quizzes. So yeah. Now it's time to retire.
Now it's time to talk about Li Shen.
Oh, fantastic. Right, strap yourself in. It's Li Shen time.
We imposted ourselves in the home end.
Like most Broyovka
fans.
Yes,
exactly, because the away end, not really an end, away bit is one of the worst in the league.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's got that certain sort of iconic factor to it now, this sort of the little cage.
Yeah, from which you can see nothing, basically.
I don't remember it being that bad, but I mean...
I'm surprised you remember anything at all, honestly.
I mean, I was brutally hungover that day, but it was very hot. But,
it was very hot, yeah.
Sold out in a flash.
It did, yeah.
So everyone else basically took the colours off and went to other parts of the stadium, of which we decided to go the opposite end.
Yes, and it became very, very obvious how many Zbrojovka fans were in there when the first goal went in. Answer, a lot. And also, none of the Li Shen fans gave a shit. It was just expected that there will be a load of Zbrojovka fans in the home bit, I think.
Yeah, it was one of these ones. I think it was actually Li Shen's own website, or it was Li Shen's website, or our website. Might be in ours, actually. That basically said in the run-up to the game or whatever, it was like, please note that Zbrojovka colours will not be admitted outside of the away section. Basically saying, if you can't get to the away section, feel free to come in anyway. And what's really useful is that beside that away section, they've got a tempo stand where you actually get quite a nice view of the game, which half of that was at least was Zbrojovka people, and we met so many people inside the ground as well.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the score, we won... 4-1, which was absolutely unbelievable, with actually two of the four goals being very, very nice goals as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The first comes after just 3 minutes when a Patrick Jitney cross evades everyone and just squirrels its way in at the far post. It was initially given to...
It was originally, I will remember this if I look at the lineup, I think it was originally given to... Cronus?
Very possibly. I think I put on social media who it wasn't, because in the stadium they gave who they thought had the last touch. It turns out it was Jitney and it hadn't touched anyone on the way through. So Paddy Rye gets the first one. The second sees Vachoshek break Li Shen's suicidally high offside line.
Yeah.
To sprint down the right and cross low for Grzelecny to accidentally score with the ball bouncing off the outside of his near foot. He absolutely... Basically, there are two defenders coming across him. He tries to stop that ball.
Yeah.
But it hits him harder than he thinks. Flashes back past the two defenders who have come hurtling past.
Yeah.
And just sort of rolls into the empty net with a third defender... hooning back to try and get it off the line and not quite making it in time.
It was
very funny.
It was a very sort of sensible soccer on the Mega Drive sort of goal. You know, everyone sort of sliding in and not really getting anywhere.
Yeah. It also, despite the fact he clearly meant to stop the ball first, take a touch and then stick it in, but it just bounces off his ankle. It doesn't stop him celebrating like Toto fucking Skilacci.
Yes.
Just running to the away section, leaping onto the fence, and like, rah! Yeah. Just like, calm down, D. Grant.
Because, listener, this is 2-0 up in 10 minutes.
Yes. Incredible work.
What happened 5 minutes later, David?
Vachoshek, again, was the absolute outlet all day. He was the same against Prostyov. He's got such an engine on him. And
he's all legs, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's... Yeah, sort of big rangy lad. And it is unsurprising that he's one of the most common substitutes off after about 70 minutes.
Because
he's been haring up and down that side constantly. But he's such an outlet. And it was the same again. Ran down the right. Lovely weighted ball to release Zhitny, who dinks the ball over Jirka Viner.
Lovely finish.
Brilliant finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, just perfectly judged, perfectly weighted. And it is actually the perfect dink, is the perfect verb for it. Because it really, just, you know, one touch, beautiful arc, comes to rest in the back of the net. Beautiful stuff.
Just one of the, I mean, just from everything, from when, you know, the ball gets picked up really on the halfway line to the pass to everything. It's just... It's perfect. It's one of those ones that you'd be proud of on FIFA. And then that's really when the point goes where you start looking at everyone and going, what the hell is going on here then?
Yeah, that's 3 goals in 14 minutes and Li Shen looking absolutely shell-shocked.
Because it's worth mentioning, even at this sort of stage, you know, and particularly, you know, for the first half an hour or so on, like, Zbrojovka still looked wide open as well. Like, it's not to say that, you know, Li Shen had chances, that they had quite a few half chances. A lot of things basically happened when Li Shen went up the wing, like, got a ball into that sort of the old corridor of uncertainty, and it was just missed by everyone. And this has happened maybe about 3 times in the half.
Yeah.
So really there was a chance to, you know, for Li Shen to get back into the game. That was probably curtailed as well with Sedlak. What a day for Sedlak, of course. Within 10 minutes he gets booked for just a complete lunge of a challenge, and then ends up injuring himself, and that's replaced by Ludek Pernica. And that made things ever so satisfying.
Indeed, especially when Zhitny turns provider with a perfectly weighted angled through ball from the right hand side. The weight on that pass is gorgeous. It just comes sort of slightly arcing through on the ground to find the unlikely figure of Jerzy Texel bombing on and finishing with a left foot first time into the opposite corner. It's like, where has this confidence come from, lads? Jesus Christ. We look brilliant going forwards. I'm not entirely sure what happened.
I mean, yes, it was probably the best attacking 90 minutes of the of the whole season.
Oh, absolutely.
By some distance, really. And it was standout performances for several players this season as well.
Yeah.
Everything clicked.
Yeah, Zhitny, Vacholczyk, even Janecki didn't look like a total bomb scare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just one of those days where we had the luck as well, because if that game's at home, and if that game is against, it doesn't have to be Li Shen, it can be against anyone, really. How many times do we get away with that cross that goes into the box and isn't picked up on the back post by like a Silny or something like that? Not many times. We're usually conceding a couple as well, but really it's just happy days when the whistle blows for half time and people can scarcely believe what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. The second half was an exercise in control, really. Sure. The damage had been done. They got one back as Degran clumsily boots Eric Otrisal.
More annoyed at that than I should be, really, with the win. Because I thought, like, I mean, I would have rather have seen us win 4-0 than a 6-1, for example, you know, at that stage.
Yeah, also, Hrdina deserves at least one clean sheet bonus.
Yes.
I feel. He's only, what, 20, 21, and he's playing behind much more experienced defenders than he is as a goalkeeper, and they do keep letting him down quite a lot. Anyway, Jan Silny tucks the penalty away, but we see the game out, and and then off to the pub for some very strong mango beer.
Yes, the mango beer was fantastic. It was lovely, like a milkshake. Maybe just a couple of closing thoughts on this, if I may.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, for me, he gets the plaudits anyway, having scored a brace, but, I mean, this is by some, like, significant distance Zhitny's best ever performance for the club. I'd like to put on record that on the way to the to the stadium on the tram,
you were making anti-Zhitny noises.
I said two things. The first thing was that every time I've seen Zhitny this season, he has been, I believe I used the word, rubbish. He was absolutely fantastic. Even in the second half, you know, the game is put to bed. The way that there's a nothing ball in the middle of the pitch, and he just fights for it, displaces the attacker, turns it into a counter attack, and he was doing that all game. Really, he was making a real nuisance for himself. right pain in the arse if you're a centre back for Lee Shin, you have that sort of bombing towards you. The second thing as well is that I think I called the I think I alluded to it being a tombola about who we were starting as well, and that's, well, that's me absolutely told, because really, you know, I was looking at that and going, well, we, you know, we don't have, you know, McLeither is not on the pitch, Araujo, Wilson is not on the pitch. So you really didn't, you know, really didn't know what we were going, we were doing there, and it was really good.
Yes, the lesser spotted Daniel Kutik starting, and he is who was given the first goal. I just remembered.
Yes,
erroneously. So yes, there we go. Then, the only notable contribution of Daniel Kutik, as far as I can remember, erroneously being given that goal.
Yeah, he's 20. Yeah. You know, he'll get into it. And we've never been good in that. I mean, we haven't been good at left back since, for about 5 years now, 6 years now. Since Pavel Iceman, he was left. Was
yes, right back. I mean, he was left. The only decent left back we've had in has been Grzeneczny, but he's now more of a winger.
He's turned into that winger role just for his pace. Also, just it took a lot. I mean, we were sort of half joking that if, you know, they're doing all the, you know, the hand clap, you know, with the squad at the you know, the Lee Shin squad, obviously we're in the away section, the home section even at the end, was seeing if we could maybe single out Ludek Pernica to sort of maybe say something to him. That was really satisfying as well, because look, I mean, Ludek Pernica is a great player.
Who has been a great player.
Who doesn't play now, really. So, I don't know. Like, it's very much... he'd never look... I mean, obviously, he comes on at a difficult time. You know, the team are significantly behind. But there was no using the experience to try and, you know, rabble-rouse everyone to going forward. I'm surprised at that, considering that a good half of that squad has some connection to Zbrojovka Brno, usually as being a past player. And it just doesn't really look bothered. Didn't stick anything in. Pernica was always, you know, good for getting a card, because he'd just go in sort of full throttle. None of that at all. And it really does suggest to me that this is a man who is now, I don't know, Lee Shin's finances, getting 70, 80, 90k a month or whatever. He's paying off his mortgage if it's not already paid off. He's not wanting for money. They played, you know, they pay very nicely at places like Victoria Pilsen, and he is just seeing out his career without caring whatsoever about that football team. And it is putting a little bit, it's a little bit of a dampener on what is, you know, I think a really serviceable career for that level of Czech footballer. So get it 100 miles up you. But this is the thing as well, I don't think he cares either.
No, I don't. No, I don't think he cares.
But nice to see a win finally. It's indeed, been a while.
Yes. We also really, hopefully, should be seeing a win in our next home game, which is Saturday against Sigma B. To which end, I believe you have a preview for
us. I do indeed.
Okay, let's do that. Preview me up, baby.
Okie dokie. So yeah, we've got a break from our recent home kickoffs, which have been at the, I would say, the ultimate football times of 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, for the slightly later 5 p.m. encounter with Sigma Olomouc B,
which gives us a nice few hours of the beer festival.
In the beer festival, and also my pal Grant is coming over from Scotland from my hometown.
He'll still be there, so of course, won't he?
He will definitely be there, and I've got him a ticket. So. Cool. He's looking very much forward to that. Hi, Grant.
See you in a couple of days.
So, this game has got a lot more interesting in recent weeks. So, I mean, basically due to various team forms shifting around those places at the foot of the table, unsurprisingly. So, you know, our spectacular, groundbreaking win against Lee Shin, which, oh, by the way, cost them a manager. We didn't mention that, of course.
Yes, Vlachovic has been binned off. That's gone very badly.
Yes, you love to see it. All their build-up as well on the social media. They had their big graphics, 2 days to Derby, 1 day to Derby. Thanks for playing, boys.
one day to looking like Derby in that Premier League season.
So what's really interesting is that we... you know, we won by a good margin. But also at the same time, this is coupled with Sigma B's 3-0 defeat to Varnsdorf, which means there's finally a bit of breathing space between us and 16th, which is where they currently occupy, which is, listener, the foot of the table. So the gap to us in 14th is now 4 points. So we really do need to take advantage of a team that are exhibiting awful form at present. I mean awful form. So since the spring, they have registered just one win.
Right.
Which is also against Li Shen. And since then, they have picked up 2 points from a possible 24.
Ouch.
So these did include narrow defeats to Zlin and Zhizhkov, which we've talked about as being good teams. But a loss is still a loss. This is relegation form. If you then consider that Varnsdorf lost to us, and they've still managed 13 points over that period.
Yeah.
They're sixth in the form table. They're looking actually quite good, Varnsdorf, now. That means they're very capable of beating Prostějov on Sunday, as we learned from their performance on Wednesday. So there are really some real implications there. They're just a horrific team at the moment. So what this could mean in, let's say, an ideal world here. So we would have a win on Saturday means that there's a 7-point gap. And at least maintaining the point cushion between ourselves and Varnsdorf, perhaps even going further up the table, perhaps being further clear of the drop zone. And on the other hand, for Sigma, if they find themselves, you know, on the end of a defeat, that means they're 2 wins from safety with only 5 left to play.
Yeah.
So big implications. Let's just say, on the other hand, David, we have a Zbrojovka Brno team that have played 11 times at home this season and haven't registered a single win. Everyone else has managed at least 3 at home.
Right.
So, in recent years, we know it's been Dr. Zbrojovka, as you said before. We are just the thing for getting teams, you know, who are struggling to pick up 3 points. And a lot of statistics, I find, absolutely fly out the window when we start getting involved in football matches. What worries me more is that now Sigma have scored 1 goal in 4. It just keeps getting worse. It just keeps getting worse for us. But I mean, just to maybe emphasise some of the problems here. Martin Pospíšil, you might remember him for playing 90 minutes for Li Shen at the weekend. He's still Sigma's joint highest scorer.
Right.
And he's a defensive midfielder. Moses Emmanuel is a young Nigerian winger. He's had enough about him that he's getting minutes in the top flight.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes their other joint goal scorer out of the window. He hasn't been seen in the second team for 5 matches now. You actually have to commend that in a way, because it's a B team playing like a B team should.
Yeah.
So if they're getting, you know, if they're playing good, they're impressing, then they're getting up into the first team. And even if I find, you know, B teams, you know, distasteful, you should be promoting your players if you have a sniff of talent there. In terms of a preview, I'm not going to really go that much further, just in the sense that I think that the biggest opponent on Saturday for Zbrojovka is going to be Zbrojovka Brno.
Oh, yeah.
This is a B team at the bottom of the table. I am not convinced how much of a fight you get from a team at the bottom of the table. If it's some sort of town team, if it's, I don't know, like a just any club, like a Vlašim, a Dukla, or whatever league you're in, and that's your A team, you can usually be sure that that team is fighting tooth and nail to stay in that division.
Yes.
And they've got fans there roaring them on. We are going to see no Sigma B fans,
obviously,
for obvious reasons on Saturday. And we've had some season-defining performances last weekend. So, I mean, hopefully this means that we have the momentum to push on. I really hope we score early. I think we have to fly out of the traps. But if it gets to 60 minutes, let's say, and it's goalless, that's where I think the frighteners start
to worry.
In.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not even going to try and predict anything, because why would you?
I've been getting a lot of things wrong as per the tram on the way to the Li Shen game on Saturday. So I'm going to go for a 2-0 Sigma Olomouc B win, hoping to manifest an entirely different result.
Nice. An ideal result would be actually just the flip of that. Just a routine 2-0 win. And
this is it. Look, if we win, on Saturday, then I say basically one more win and that's us. Yeah. One more win and I think we're just completely fine from relegation. And it has, you know, we've had a topsy-turvy season where it's been like, we're going down, we're going to maybe have a run to go into the playoffs. Oh, we're absolutely going down. I think, again, we're just going to hit that sort of peak. The objective is to stay in the league. I think that we'll just about do that now if we just get, even if it's a 1-0.
Yeah. Okay, we have a bit of Lachine to talk about, but first of all, let's have what I think is going to be quite an interesting beer of the podcast. Beer of the podcast. Say, Sam, do you like Gose?
I do like Gose, you very much know that.
Do you like sours?
I do like sours.
This is Sour Joy Raspberry and Blueberry Gose Sour.
Ooh!
Yes.
I liked all of those words in order.
It's barely a beer, it's 3%.
Okay.
But there we go, it's from the Upside Down Brewery of Zvolen, Poland.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Ooh, where did you pick this up?
It was from that place that is basically opposite Usolnichny.
Aha,
that,
yes.
The hipster beer shop in which somebody will always come up and try and go, hello, can I help you? Which kind of annoys me. Just leave me to browse, please. But either way, that's where I got it. Expensive.
Leave me to browse like your girl doing makeup.
Expensive. 119 crowns for a can.
Oof.
Of almost not beer. Mm. But it smells incredible and it looks really nice. So
it's me.
So
it does smell incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, you really get that raspberry, don't you?
Yeah. Really good.
What were those words again? Raspberry and something goza.
Raspberry, blueberry, sour goza.
Excellent. This is the sort of thing that I put in my electronic cigarette, by the way.
Okay, right. Here we go.
Yeah.
Very tasty.
It's got that gosa thing going on. It's got that almost saline saltiness thing as well.
Sharp.
But the sharpness goes almost immediately.
Yeah. And then you're just left with a lovely, not too sour, very fruity aftertaste.
Oh, very fruity.
Very nice.
Well, we're on a bit of a run now here,
we
David.
Are,
That's two bangers in a row.
Yeah. Yes, that's very good.
Again, it's a treat beer. It's well, actually, now we're getting into the sort of weather where you can sort of sit in your garden with a book or what have you, and have a beer after work. Lovely. Yeah, that would do the trick.
Wouldn't it though? Yeah. So excellent work. Will we be doing excellent work in a couple of weeks against Lachine?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
Don't know.
I was trying to remember who we were playing, and you said you would give me a clue, and your clue was something like the most boring team in Czech football, and I immediately just said Lachine. Yeah.
It's a nothing town.
It is.
There was that excitement with Lachine maybe 3 seasons back, I could be wrong, where they had a complete storming season and they finished second and looked like they might be able, well, actually, against predictions, decided to give the playoff game a crack. Ended up losing. It might have been to someone like Bohemians. I'm not sure off the top of my head. But really, since then, I mean, that was at the time where they had this sort of, I think, deal with Slavia.
Yes, so they had they had a few loan players. They had that guy who eventually found his way to Stoke, I think, the forward.
Yes.
Whose name escapes me. Yeah, so he was absolutely pulling up trees. for them.
Anyway. But they're quietly going about their business this season, Vlashim. So surprised me that they're fifth. Like, I didn't see that one. This is a... It's interesting. I decided not to say anything at the time because I knew I was going to cover this in the preview, but you were... When you were talking about the Prostyov game and you're like, that's the biggest 2 points dropped sort of this season, I'll disagree with that because I want to cast your mind back, and I know it's cloudy, etc., to what was an unbelievably dreadful October for Zborovka Brno. So that was where we ended up taking 2 points from a possible 15.
Right.
We shipped 14 goals that month.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're wondering, I'm sure you are, David, that is 37% of all goals we've conceded this season, just from October 2024. Yeah. So you might remember the last time that we played Vlashim at home. You might remember we were 2-0 up in that game.
Oh.
You might remember we conceded in the 80th and 83rd.
That's right.
That is, for me, the biggest points drop in this season. We didn't even look that good. We got 2-0 up, and then we just completely contrived to throw it away. And like I said before, Vlashim currently fifth. They've won 7 games out of 24 this season, which I think is a real testament to how close this league is, but how poor this league is as
absolutely.
Well. So, I mean, they had an excellent result of the weekend. They defeated Žižkov.
Oh, nice.
They are unbeaten in 5, 2 wins and 3 draws. So they are hitting good form at just the right time. So, I mean, I'm going to be very brief on some of the details here because there was a very big turnover at the end of the year. 4 players returned from loan to their parent clubs. 5 others left the club. I'm not exactly sure why they got rid of Martin Schubert. He seemed like a pretty useful player to me. He ended up joining Banik B, which is, you know, their own bundle of fun. They are having some volatile season, Banik Ostrava B. But 11 players came in on the over the winter period. I don't have much to say about that. I had a quick scout of some of the players, really uninspiring, frankly. Right. Except for Filip Matoshek. He might turn out to be a pretty good right back in a few years with some experience, but he's young. He'll return to Dukla in the summer. If he's anything like Filip Lehki, then he will be good for them because he has been 6 months with 8 months with Vlashim now. He's on loan the whole season from Dukla, and he'll make he's made a big impact. He's got 9 goals to his name so far. Also helps with a bundle of assists, which is nice for one of these sorts of players and so on. But really, I don't know, because I think that a lot of this is going to depend on if we finally break our duck against Sigma.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've done this before, right? We've done this where we've come off the back of a good win and we've gone, right, this is where we turn the corner. And they've instantly got just smacked around the face and brought back down to earth. So, you know, it's a feast or famine, I think, right now with Zborovka Brno. I'm hoping we keep feasting for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because really, 6 points in these next 2 games, job done, staying in the league, finish 12th or what have you, you know, excellent based on, you know, what we were saying a month and a half ago. You get 4 points, fine. We've got a couple more, you know, games to sort of put that right, and we've got a lot of the big guns out of the way. I think the only one that we still have to play that's going to be any, you know, real, I think, of a quality team, I think
Žižkov at home
is Žižkov, So, so really, yeah, just a micro preview, I guess, of that game, because I'm keeping my powder dry to see what we do on Saturday at 5. I am perhaps naively looking forward to Saturday at 5 o'clock, but maybe ask me how I am at about 7 and we'll see.
Okay. All right. That will be it for this episode of the podcast. Thank you for listening, listener. I know you're out there. Follow us on all the socials at Zborovcast, as I'm sure you do. If you don't, why not? You've had 7 years now. So,
did you also see that apparently I've got wind that someone actually emailed Zborovcast@gmail.com?
Great. We're never going to see it, I would imagine. But, you know, if you did, congrats. Get in touch with us on social media. It's a lot easier. Right. That will be us. We will speak to you in a couple of weeks then. Tati, bye.
Bye. Tam hrát, aby se směl.
Pojď si drahý, jak tě znám.